Good morning. So good to be with you this morning. We are going to be in John chapter 6 today. John chapter 6. And my Bible flipped to 1 Peter chapter 3. So I did not mark my Bible. Let me turn to John chapter 6. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Y'all happy to be in the house this morning? Yeah, honestly, you know, to be straight up, y'all are very quiet this morning. Yeah, hopefully we get a little more lively. It is a gloomy day, but it's never a gloomy day with the gospel. Amen? Y'all like that? There we go. I mean, we're going to get there. John chapter 6, starting in verse 60, we read this. Therefore, when many of his disciples heard this, they said, "This teaching is hard. Who can accept it?" Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, asked them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to observe the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? The Spirit is the one who gives life. The flesh doesn't help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. But there are some among you who don't believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning those who did not believe and the one who would betray him. He said, 'This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted to him by the Father.' From that moment, many of his disciples turned back and no longer accompanied him. So Jesus said to the 12, 'You don't want to go away too, do you?' Simon Peter answered, 'Lord, to whom will we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God.' Jesus replied to them, 'Didn't I choose you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil.' He was referring to Judas, Simon Iscariot's son, one of the 12, because he was going to betray him." Let's pray. God, we're grateful. I'm grateful for your word. We are grateful for your word. We're grateful that we can stand on your word, stake our lives on the word, ultimately on Jesus, asking that you would please speak to us this morning. We need a word. We need a word. We need direction. There are some in the room aren't sure what's the next step in life. Lord, would you reveal that to them through your word? Ultimately, Lord, there are people, the next step they need to take is to finally commit their lives to you. Would you give them the faith to do so? Lord, we are desperate for you. Please speak to us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I want to take you back to 2018. It is the, y'all have heard me many times talk about Jackson Hole and T-Town, Grand T-Town National Park. And 2018 was the first time that I got to see this beautiful place. Me and some buddies, Pastor Chris being one of them, we planned this wonderful trip out there. Man, we had all the plans. We were ready to go. We had all the stuff. Our buddy Ryan, who is in 7th group, he doesn't live in the area anymore, but he got all these discounts. These 7th group, the Special Forces guys, they get like 40, 50% off on everything. So he's like, "Just let me buy it for you." If that's not supposed to be said out loud, I'm so sorry. But he got us a lot of deals on a lot of great stuff, okay? I'm talking all the stuff. So we go on this backpacking trip. We fly out early in the morning. We land in Jackson Hole in the afternoon. We take an Uber to this place called Dornan's to get some water and whatnot to fill up our packs before we got there, because then once we were going to be in the park, we would draw water from rivers or lakes or whatever with a little filter. We walk about a half mile to the U-Ranger station to pick up our permits. We literally hitchhike to the trailhead, and we begin our journey. And if you would have seen us in that moment, we were stoked. We were fired up. I am talking high-fiving, like smiling, laughing. This is going to be an amazing journey. Am I exaggerating any of this? I mean, I'm talking like, yeah! And we hit the trail, and I mean, in a matter of 3 or 4 minutes, the chirping, the talking, it got dead quiet. And all you hear is, all right. We had planned on like a 60 plus mile, 5 day hike, okay? And what we didn't really think about was when you're in Florida, we're at sea level. When you land in Jackson Hole, you are 6,500 feet above sea level. And the trailhead was already taking us to the 8,000 to 9,000 feet above sea level. And no one had really considered this, you're not going to get, well, our buddy Ryan got a little sick later, and sorry to say that out loud, but you're not going to, it's not like the heights where you're like, you could die up there, but if those of you who know what I'm talking about, it hits very, very quickly. And we stop about a half mile into the hike, and we stop, like, how long have we been? Like, how long have we gone? And it legit, it had been a half mile. And it was like, oh no. Like, you know, what have we done? Next day, I got a picture that kind of represents how we were feeling. This is Pastor Chris. That is, and the look on his face is, we were, it's like 8 to 10 miles off our goal at this point. And we were hiking in a place, or we were going to be camping in a place we didn't have a permit for, which matters out there. And it was like the look of, oh no, long story short, you can take the picture down. We got off the trail. Yeah. I wasn't feeling like that, by the way. I was like, let's keep going. Long story short, we got off the trail 2 days early. And we're back to eating really good food our last 2 days in Jackson Hole. And we threw the towel and we went more like 35 miles, not the planned 60 miles. And I'll never forget when I called my wife, like, hey, we're done. She's like, I didn't expect you to call. You know, you didn't have good cell service. We were like, yeah, it's over. Here's why I share that story. There are a lot of people who are on this path of following Jesus, and you're all in, you're excited, you're in the Word, you're coming to church on a weekly basis. And the issue is, when the going gets tough and it comes to truly taking up your cross and following Jesus, you're hopping off the trail and you're done. You're throwing the towel in on Christianity. Our world is full of people like this, especially in America. Oh, I'm all in for Jesus. But when it gets difficult and it starts pressing in on your comfort, you're out. Like, you're hopping off the trail 2 days early, you're done. Here's our big idea for today. Many profess to be followers of Jesus, yet only a handful truly are. Plenty profess to follow Jesus, yet only a handful truly do. I like how I reworded that for you this morning. Don't worry. In Christianity, or in our world today, we really have three types of people. We have three types of people in the room today. You have your true followers of Jesus. You have your people who are not followers of Jesus. They're non-Christians. And then you have your people who we can call a fake Christian. Or there's a really good book out there called Unsaved Christian by Dean and Sarah. You are claiming to be a Christian, but you aren't really a Christian. That fake Christian category is one of the most dangerous categories to be in. If you're genuinely a believer, that's great. Congratulations, you're in. You're a part of the family. That's amazing. If you are knowingly not a Christian right now and you're saying that out loud, I don't mind you being in that position. You're being honest about your faith, where you are with Jesus, and you're really searching. It's the fake Christians. It's the most dangerous place to be, because you're the ones who are going to be stunned if you were to die today and face God at judgment. Or a few months down the road or a few years down the road, you're going to back out of the whole thing when the going gets difficult. Here's our point number one for today. We're going to talk about what true disciples really are. True disciples understand the implications of following Jesus. True disciples understand the implications of following Jesus. Look at what happens in our text. Verse 60, a lot's happened in John chapter 6. John the evangelist writes this, "Therefore, when many of his disciples heard this, they said, 'This teaching is hard. Who can accept it?'" Now, we need to define what John means by disciple or disciples. In the Gospel of John, you have two different types of disciples, and it's kind of like what I was presenting, the two different types of Christians. In the Gospel of John, you have genuine disciples who understand the implications of following Jesus, and they are all in. But then you have not true disciples. They're not genuine. You could say this, they are loosely attaching themselves to Jesus without fully understanding the implications of what that means. So you have genuine disciples, you have not so genuine disciples who are just loosely attaching themselves to this guy. Man, he's done all the miracles. This is amazing. I'm going to follow him. And at this point in John chapter 6, there are thousands of these not so genuine disciples. And that's where we are in John chapter 6 in this moment. He's talking very specifically about the ones who aren't so genuine in their Christ life. And that's where we're landing in this moment. And understand, Jesus had said some, at this point, some very mysterious things. If you recall in John 6, we just got out of this discourse where he was talking about eating the flesh of Jesus and drinking the blood of Jesus. This is a complex thing to understand, but what's starting to happen in these thousands of people who are following Jesus, they're starting to realize what it actually means to attach themselves to Jesus. They're starting to realize, oh, this is really going to impact my life profoundly. They're starting to realize they're going to have to relinquish some control, all control and authority they have. This is going to be a sacrifice. So when they say it's hard to understand or accept, they're like, I don't know if I want any of this. They're realizing Jesus is serious when he says he's greater than the great prophet Moses. You know what's happening to these thousands of Christians or disciples? They are offended by what's being asked of them. And I'm sure we don't know any Christians who have ever felt offended, ever. Come on. Y'all are there. You're like, yeah, that's not me. Hey, we need to be careful not to judge. At Sunrise, we give you six characteristics that make up a disciple. And I have this document for you, and I was pointed out by someone from our tech team that the wording, you can really see this really well. And so I apologize, but here is our discipleship guide that we hand out to all members. And these are just characteristics we see that make up a disciple from the scriptures. And what do we have on here? We have a disciple, someone who's praying and reading the Bible consistently. A disciple is someone who's leading their family. A disciple is someone who's engaging in biblical fellowship. A disciple is someone who's serving, humbly serving the church, humbly serving others around them. A disciple is someone who's living generously, practicing good stewardship of the resources that all belong to God, and generously supporting the church and the people around you. A disciple is someone who is building the kingdom, seeking saving relationships with the lost, sharing the gospel with others. So we now have this group of ungenuine disciples in John 6. They're realizing, I'm offended by what you're saying. Let's not be quick to judge because I put all this up on the screen. This is all from scripture. Do any of these offend you when we start talking about them? Now, we start out with praying and reading the Bible. You're all like, amen. Yeah, I'm all in. When we talk about what's going on with your finances, I'm offended you're talking about that. And what's interesting, I love reading church reviews on like just different churches around here. I'll read reviews of like what people are saying about the churches. And it's so interesting. Like there's one specific church in our community. It had like a few like one star. And they're like, oh, this church talked about is giving. Yeah, that's all they want. They just want your money, you know? It offends people. It offends people when we start talking about the specifics of what it actually means to follow Jesus. And so we just need to be careful. Thank you, that's down. We just need to be careful of like casting judgment. This is happening all the time. We have created our own versions of Christianity. This is nothing new for you. And whatever works for us, we think that's good. But I'm telling you, when the going gets tough, if you are not authentically following Jesus right now, and it gets hard, and life really starts to press on you, I'm confident, like, you're not going to be the one of the ones hanging around till the end. And so that's what Jesus is pointing out. That's what John's trying to point out to us, that there's a lot of people merely hearing the words of Jesus, but they aren't fully understanding or receiving. And so it's really starting to offend them. Jesus picks up on them being offended. We saw that happen in verse 61. He notices there's some people grumbling. So he's got this supernatural knowledge, though. He knows, okay, they're not really tracking with me here. And look at what he asked in verse 62. He says, "Then what if you were to observe the Son of Man ascending to where he was before?" And you're like, what in the world is he talking about there? Actually, what Jesus is talking about and what John's conveying to us is the cross of Jesus Christ. So you think of ascension, you think of after the cross when he ascended into heaven. John's talking about the whole thing. Jesus is talking about the whole thing, the whole thought of the cross. And we know the cross is this event that really was a culmination of a series of events that the cross inaugurated. So it wasn't just the cross of Jesus Christ. It was the death and resurrection, the ascension, and then ultimately the Spirit of God coming down in Acts chapter 2. So this is packing a punch, and here's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, if you are offended right now by what I'm calling you to, even more so, you're going to be offended when this alleged Messiah is hanging on a cross, dying and suffering. It's going to offend you even more. You're even going to more so reject me as the Messiah. You're going to more so reject all the claims that I've been saying, because that would be an outrageous thing to happen. Understand that Jesus, the Messiah, this long-awaited King, this Savior of the world, hanging on a cross, suffering a criminal's death, in that moment, their culture, scandalous, blasphemous. So he's just saying, you think this is hard for you to take in now? Just wait till I'm actually on the cross. You'll be rejecting me even more. Paul records in 1 Corinthians 1:23 that the cross was a stumbling block for the Jews, hard for them to take in, and foolishness to the Gentile. So this is a polarizing thing that Jesus is trying to point out to them, and ultimately he's trying to help them see there's a lot of disciples who aren't really disciples of him. They're just coming after Jesus for the things that Jesus has to offer. If you go on in verses 63 to 65, he says, "The Spirit is the one who gives life. The flesh doesn't help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. But there are some among you who don't believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning those who did not believe and the one who would betray him. He said, 'This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted to him by the Father.'" So Jesus is just trying to help them see what they're doing right now is what many of us do today. They're scoping the whole thing out of Christianity, of Jesus, with the eyes of their flesh. And they're missing seeing Jesus through the eyes of faith. And he's pointing out to them some pretty profound things, that the Spirit is the one who gives life. And then he says, "I'm the one who has spoken to you spirit and life." And so the question is, well, how in the world does someone come to a true saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? Jesus tells them in verse 65, "This is why I told you no one can come to me unless it is granted to him by the Father." It's a gift of God the Father. He's the one who gives life through Jesus. So if you're trying to figure all this out with your flesh, you're going to struggle. And that's what all these disciples, again, non-genuine disciples, have run into now. They've been after Jesus because of all the things he has to provide, and it's not connecting with them. The answer for you today is, I can only preach the word of God, see, the gospel to you. Preachers and teachers and Christians can share the gospel to you, but ultimately it's on you to respond. When the Father's calling you through the Spirit, it's on you to respond. Here was the big thing, though. True disciples understand the implications of following Jesus. You're not just flippantly following him. Very easy thing to do in America, because it is compared to the rest of the world, a pretty comfortable place to live out your faith. That's number one. Number two, true disciples continue following Jesus even when everyone else walks away. I want to go back to verse 64. Jesus said, "But there are some among you who don't believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning those who did not believe and the one who would betray him. This is a crucial verse in the text. The unbelief is not scaring Jesus. It's not taking him by surprise. He is on this God-given mission from the Father, and he knew the entire time that there would be a lot of people who just flat out don't believe. Palm Sunday is going to be here before we know it. Amen. Can't wait. Love Palm Sunday. A lot of reasons why I love this that time of year in the spring. I will not say anything more than that. We're going to keep it focused on the gospel, not on the masters. But let's get back to the text. Palm Sunday is coming. Well, you know what I love about Palm Sunday? I love reading through those texts of the triumphal entry where Jesus is entering into Jerusalem when he was well aware of what was before him. He knew all these people who, in the moment, it sounds amazing, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. He knew all of those voices was just several days later going to turn to chants of crucify him. He was well aware of what was coming for him. His entire ministry, he knew, man, a lot of people. And he knew the ones, they're not truly following me. They're going to reject me. Fearless leader. That's what I love about Jesus. A fearless leader. No fear. Triumphal entry. I want you to read it with that mindset. Man, he just went straight into Jerusalem. Confident as can be with the mission that God called him on. So read this. Don't think that Jesus is stunned by any of this, nor should we be stunned by any of this. Something consistent we see in the scriptures, really New Testament, looking in 1 John, a lot of people are out there claiming to be Christians. Only a few truly are. We read on, starting in verse 65, he said, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father." From that moment, many of his disciples turned back and no longer accompanied him. So Jesus said to the 12, "You don't want to go away too, do you?" Simon Peter answered, "Lord, to whom will we go? You have the words of eternal life." John 6, verse 66, perhaps one of the saddest verses in the Bible. Many of his disciples turned back and no longer accompanied him. I'm talking a mass exodus of people. We're not just talking about like there's 50 people in a group. We aren't given a number, but we have reason to believe we're talking thousands of people who in this moment realized everything that was being asked of them. We're talking thousands just kind of like, oh, okay. I don't know if I'm about that. And they turned around and walked away. The way this is being worded, it's not like they just walked away for the day. Like, okay, this teaching's getting kind of weird. I'll be back tomorrow. No, we're talking thousands in this moment. We're like, no, not about this. Turned their back on Jesus and walked away. It's a wild moment. But again, what began to happen is they realized the implications of all that Jesus was saying. And they just, True disciples don't do that. True disciples don't walk away when they understand the implications of what it means to follow Jesus. They continue to press into Jesus in the hard moments. They understand what's being asked of them, and they completely lean in They don't abandon Jesus in the moment. And what was happening in this moment, the reason this moment came to be, is they were following Jesus for all the wrong reasons. They were coming to him for all the wrong reasons, and they realized what they wanted from Jesus and what Jesus was actually offering them wasn't the same. And so they were like, I'm out. Why? We've asked this question several times this year. Why are you in the room? Why are you coming to Jesus? Why are you following Jesus? He knows your heart. I've been thinking about relating to this. Have you ever had one of those friends who, good friend, dear friend, and they text you or call you, or maybe they shoot you a message on social media, like, hey, how are you doing? I'm good, Bobby. Yeah, thanks for reaching out. Long time, you know? And if your name's Bobby, I'm sorry. I'm not talking about you. I don't even have a friend named Bobby. But yeah, it's good. And your friend Bobby's like, man, how's your wife? Good, good. My wife's good. And then Bobby seems to know everything about you. How is your daughter, Piper, who is 8 years old? And I think she's getting into golf. And you realize, like, man, Bobby must have been listening to my preaching. Like, Bobby, they're good. How's your daughter, Ivy? Great, Bobby. Like, this is so good. That, man, thanks for reaching out. How's the church going? It's great. Y'all got a building yet? No. You know, thanks for asking. Thanks for pointing that out. And then I'm like, well, how are you, Bobby? Oh, I'm good. And then Bobby drops the, you know what's coming next? That pyramid scheme. Hey, David, listen, man, I've been thinking about you. I've got this way that you can make $5 million in the next year if you commit today. Has this ever happened to you? Raise your hand if you've had a friend reach out to you like this. The pyramid scheme, and maybe you're one of the people. Maybe you're the pyramid scheme person. We know now, okay? It's not authentic. And it connects with you like, man, the only reason this person's coming to me right now is they want money from me. They want something from me. They're not interested in genuine friendship, relationship. They don't care about my kids. In fact, now it's kind of creepy. They know all this stuff, and they're just trying to sell me, you know, the gummies that I was talking about the other week that don't work, you know? It doesn't work. And I'm telling you, what's happened in this moment, this mass exodus, because all these people, man, they've been coming after Jesus because of all these things he's done, and they realize, this is a lot more than I want. I don't want anything to do with this. I'm out. And now I want you to picture the scene. You have thousands. Just picture it. Maybe you can close your eyes. Thousands of people, max exodus. Everybody walks away. And now Jesus is there standing there with likely just the 12, maybe a few others. And he's like, what are you going to do now? Like, imagine, like, even right now, we don't have thousands of people in the room. But imagine if, like, it's all these people. And then for some random reason right now, everyone left the room other than five of you, and you're one of the five. Number one, that's going to be kind of awkward. I should have staged the moment just to see what some of the, like, hey, we're only going to leave the five. Let's not tell them. Let's see what they do. Let's test the waters. Are they really a Christ follower? You know, but just imagine the scene. There's 12, and Jesus is like, what are you going to do? And the thing is, Jesus knew, we already know he knew who was really with him and who wasn't. So he knew the 12 were going to hang in there. He knew they were going to say, like, no, we're not leaving. But he wanted to give them the opportunity to profess this, to say this out loud. And so Peter, who is full of so much nonsense and ineptitude from time to time, Peter in this moment, this is one of his shining moments. He is like, Lord, no chance we're leaving. And he uses that word Lord, the way the evangelist records this. This was one of those professing moments for Peter, acknowledging Lord, deity, your God, Jesus. It's insanity for us to leave at this moment in life. The 12, we're going nowhere. We're all in. You are the one who gives us eternal life. So they have this really amazing moment where it's like, no, we're all in. There's no one else who can offer us what you are offering us. But I did want to ask you this question before we get to the final point. If every single person in your life, your spouse, your kids, everyone, you go home today, everyone, like all your friends, everyone, and they say, we're done with Jesus, we're done with Christianity, and I'm out. What's your response going to be? And it wasn't just we're done, but it's and we're not. I'm not hanging with you anymore if you're hanging in there. Just think about it. If you went home, I asked Chris this question, and Chris was really struggling to contemplate the question. In fact, Chris, every single response you gave me was like, this may be the worst question in the world. It's like he was overthinking the whole thing. But really, what are you going to do? If every single person in your life who is a Christ follower told you, we're done, we don't believe it, we're out, we're turning our back, and it's just you, what's your response? True disciples continue following Jesus, even when everyone else walks away. Thirdly, true disciples confess that Jesus is Lord. True disciples confess or profess that Jesus is Lord. And we see this in these last couple verses. We caught a glimpse of it in verse 68. We see more of it in 69. I'll read both verses. Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom will we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. This is what professing or confessing Jesus as Lord looks like. Again, Peter, he's speaking for the 12, already acknowledging Jesus as deity, already acknowledging that Jesus is the one who has the words of eternal life. They know, they get it. But then he goes a step further and he says, we have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. If you're someone who writes in your scriptures, I do not write in mine, but if that's one of you, I would circle Holy One of God, do a little study on it. This doesn't pop up much, but for Peter to say, you are the Holy One of God, this is a profound way for him to say, you are God, you are the one we are after. You are the Savior. We believe it, and we believe in you. We're not going anywhere. It wasn't just an intellectual belief for the disciples at this point. Like, a lot's happened up to this point in John 6. This is an internal thing that has happened now. They are all in. And this is the place that true disciples find themselves. Jesus, your Lord, I'm all in. No matter the cost, I'm all in. Whatever it takes, I'm all in. Where are you today in your relationship with Christ? A lot of people, especially in this country, when it gets difficult, there's going to be a mass exodus that happens. In fact, y'all remember the COVID years, and we saw, after several years, a lot of those people who were like, oh, you know, it's COVID, it's kind of keeping us out of the building. You know what we ended up seeing? A lot of those people just didn't come back. So that there's many of them, understandably so, there were some people that were cautious to get back in the building. And a lot of those people came back, praise God. And then there was a lot of people, they were done. And you know some of these people, they're still like, they're just, you know what it is? There was not a genuine faith, not true discipleship happening in their lives. Where are you? A lot of people profess it right now. That's an easy thing to do, especially kind of the direction our country is right now, whether you agree with it or not. There seems to be a kind of a leaning into the things of God because of leadership. You realize that comes and goes. That changes all the time. Where are you in your relationship with God? So there's a few things that we can take to apply this today. Number one, I would encourage you to assess your own discipleship. Like, what really internally, like, are you all in? Are you ready to be countercultural in your faith? Like, where are you? Assess your own discipleship. Is it real? Is it genuine? Like, keep up with that. Secondly, be ready to embrace the cost of discipleship because it is costly. It is costly. It changes everything about you. The reason I put up those six characteristics that make up a disciple, that was just simply, those are all scripture-based and we can bring those to the forefront. We got those handouts all over the campus. I just bring those up because that's a good way to ask us, like, man, how am I doing? We don't say one's more important than the other. It's just like, this is what discipleship is. Where are you? How are you doing? Are you embracing the cost of discipleship? Check your motives for sure. Check your motives while you're following Jesus. These are big questions we've been asking. And then lastly, if you have never given your life to Christ, man, you can do so today, and we would love to walk you through that. to walk you through what it means to authentically follow Jesus. No better time than now. No better time than now. But it's the Spirit who's calling. So if you feel like, oh my goodness, my heart is pounding, respond. That's the Father working in you right now. And he wants a relationship with you right now. God, we're grateful. We are so grateful for Jesus. We're so grateful for the cross. Jesus, the Son of God, who came down on this planet and lived a perfect life, a sinless life. He died on the cross for our sins, taking on our sin and shame. He rose again on the third day, conquering our sin and our shame, conquering the grave, conquering death. He ascended into heaven. And ever since that amazing moment in history, you have been saving people's lives one after the other, filling people with your Spirit, making us alive together with Christ. Thank you for the gospel, which is what ultimately we are preaching every single week. It's the gospel. It's all the gospel. Would you speak to lives this morning? Lord, there are some, they are truly disciples. They're Christians. But even now, they're kind of assessing their discipleship, realizing, not fully all in. Would you speak to those hearts today? Specifically, God, speak to the ones who have been lying to themselves that they're truly one of yours when they're not. Give them the faith to believe. We love you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Hey, you can go ahead and stand up. We have one last song of worship this morning. If you need to talk to someone to follow Jesus, please come and talk to me or someone else who's going to be up front. We'd love nothing more than to share with you about what it means to follow Jesus. If you want to come down and pray, just come down and pray. But I encourage you to really be thinking about your discipleship over the next several days. Let's continue on in our worship this morning.